Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Aesop Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about the trends in miracle weight loss drugs, in quotations, that are happening all over the place right now, such as Ozempic, which you might have heard of. And to start, we're going to talk about whether your plants can cry and how pets affect babish.
Babies?
Babies.
Babish.
And we're in. And we're podcasting.
Wow, someone's in a good mood.
Wow,
wait, you're doing rolling. A voice.
We are rolling right now. Okay, so how was your weekend, Mitchell?
What did we do?
Classic.
Oh, we had a friend's bachelor party.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah. It was called bachelorette party because he's, well, gay, actually. But the drag queen came up and was like, you know, you can call it a bachelor party, right?
It was a bachelor party. Wait, was it?
They were calling it a bachelorette party.
Oh,
it was a little gay joke.
No, it was because his sash, the only sash they could get, said bachelorette. I think he was walking around saying, it's my bachelor party, bro.
Okay, I don't know.
No strippers. But Survivor games.
It was the best party I've ever been to. His friend truly organized full-on Survivor games, created puzzles, made physical replications of Survivor puzzles, split us into teams. It was the most thrilling thing I've ever experienced.
Wow.
In my life.
It was so hard, and it made me realize I could never do a puzzle on Survivor. Like, even the low stakes of a bachelor party with no actual
consequences. Yeah, it makes you realize how frazzled your brain instantly becomes when you're thrown into a situation. Like, doing something where you're just, like, running or forcing yourself is one thing, but to have to stop and slow yourself down to think when you're panicking to try and finish something quickly was interesting.
Never choose the puzzle if you're on Survivor, which I think a lot of people know that.
Right, because everyone blames them, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you are the final leg of something and lose, it's everyone thinks it's
you
your
fault.
Yeah,
you go home. I know.
Especially if you were in the lead.
Yeah, no, it's just, it was really fun, but it was just like, nope, Survivor ain't for me. If I'm gonna go on a reality show, it's gonna be MILF Manor. Okay.
Is that a show?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're not
I only
get
like
into
the
that,
high class shows like Big Brother.
Wait, MILF Manor is not low class.
Oh, is it not? Okay. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I read a new study that is saying something we've known for a while. We've done videos on it. It was on 66,000 kids in Japan using the Japan Environment and Children's Study, which is a way that they were able to access records of their medical history. So they didn't actually test the kids for allergies, but they had records from doctors and found that when you have an indoor dog, you're less likely to experience egg, milk, and nut allergies.
I almost chose this study today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just like at the last second changed it.
Because we have pets, so we'd probably both love these types of studies.
Yeah. Although interestingly, like you didn't have pets growing up though, did you?
No, I mean, or like, I have a pet now that is like to, in my head, I like to be like, oh, the fact that you're disgusting and dirty and coming into the house is a good thing.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
So anyways, let me continue. They also determine that if you have cats in the house, you're less likely to have egg, wheat, and soybean allergies. Mm-hmm. And a big thing was that children living with dogs that were allowed inside versus outside. So when the dogs were allowed inside, they had lower allergy rates. So that was like a cool part of the study. And it's this thing we've talked about before, which is like the hygiene hypothesis, which is that it might be good for your babies prenatally. So this is before they're even born, when the parent with the vagina is like
around a pet, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm saying it's prenatally plus also when the baby's born.
Right. Okay.
If there is a pet inside, dog or cat, there seems to be a decrease in allergies, and it could be because there's more bacteria and microbes that are like being exposed to the baby, which could be a good thing.
Okay.
Which goes against everything we think about, like, hygiene. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, there's, like, a different... Because sometimes you're just, like dirt itself isn't unhygienic. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Necessarily. I guess, like, it can contain microbes and whatever. Like, perhaps there is a higher chance than, like, obviously a sterile surface. But it's, like, different than, like, having snot on your hands and touching somebody.
Yeah, or, like, a virus from, like, a a pole on a subway.
Yeah, I feel like our dog, like, it's more like dander and hair and dirt from, like, the ground, but not necessarily that he's bringing in more actual, like, it's not like he's bringing in salmonella. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but sometimes I'm like, is he bringing in literal dog shit?
Oh, fair. That would be the only thing is like whether dogs are bringing in more like feces. Oh, sorry.
But it's just like obviously you're not rubbing your baby in your dog's like paws and nose. Exactly. It's just that in general.
Around them. Yeah.
And it's just a hypothesis. They don't know why, but it's just another huge study saying that.
Like
these
the
kids.
Trend continues.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. It's all for having a pet. Although I guess when you have a baby, it's like, I don't want a pet. That's more work.
Yeah. Hopefully it's like an easy pet at that point.
Like a cat.
Yeah. Or like an older dog or like a low energy dog.
Yeah. I guess not many people are getting new dogs when they have babies.
No.
That seems counterintuitive.
And like hopefully Ernie by the time we have a baby is like really tired and old.
Yeah. Like very old. And we're like, you don't need a walk right
Yeah.
Now.
You're fine to stay in today. Okay. Did you know that plants cry when they need water? Literally.
No.
They make actual audible, detectable noises when they're stressed. So a new study, they basically had an experiment where they recorded ultrasonic sounds, and the plants that needed water or that had recently had their stems cut produced roughly 35 sounds per hour.
That's why.
Whereas well-hydrated and uncut plants are much quieter, making only about one sound per hour. Isn't that interesting?
Wait, so... Oh, my God.
35 times more sound.
What kind of sound?
They're more like clicking. So the reason, obviously, you can't hear them is because it's ultrasonic. So that's between 20 and 100 kilohertz.
Ooh.
So obviously, humans can't hear it. Interestingly... Bats, mice, and moths can potentially hear and potentially live in a world full of sound, like from plants.
Oh my God, that's so freaking cool.
In the study, this is in Nature, they actually, you can listen to the sound pitched down so that it's like audible to human ears. And in that, I think it was pitched down and maybe sped up or slow. I can't remember. It sounds kind of like popcorn popping. So it's not like singing or crying. It's more like clicking and clacking.
Every like millennial's little succulent and plant in their house is just
screaming. I know. If we were bats, we'd just hear it be like, or more like.
Actually, you need to water the plants, I just realized.
Why?
Because I didn't do it this week.
Oh, shoot.
But
I'm so bad at that.
You need to, everyone needs to get those rods.
Okay, just like the water detectors?
They're the best purchase ever.
They just tell you how much moisture is in the soil.
Yeah, it's like a metal rod that is, why can I not describe a rod and why is it making me feel horny? Okay, it's like a metal rod attached to this like green plastic thing at the top. And you can get it for pH, but I'm like, that's too
And people,
much
I think,
me.
Say that's usually less accurate. Whereas like the water detection,
It's
I
so
think
great.
Is
it says dry.
Medium.
Medium. High. No, it doesn't say
low,
medium.
Medium, high, probably.
Low,
right?
Medium,
moisture.
High.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Okay. I don't think it says like dry, middle, wet, and moist.
It's crazy because I use it every week. But it's so amazing because sometimes you'll look at a plant and be like, oh, she needs it. And you'll put it in and be like, oh my God, it's fully wet.
Yeah.
And the top layer where you put your finger feels dry, but down at the bottom, it's soaked. And then other plants, it looks kind of wet. You put it in, it's fully dry. Mm-hmm. And it's just like every time it's in the middle to the right, if it's moist to like high or medium to high, I don't touch it. It has to just be in red on the left. I water it. And our plants have been like fine for years.
You're a great plant daddy.
Well, it's this rod's help.
Yeah.
So hopefully my plants aren't screaming thanks to Rod.
Well, they might be now because I'm going to have to take care of them.
No, but you
will. Me and Rod don't know each other so well. So, I'm excited to feed the plants and not cut them because that makes them scream too. And it ultimately is like they obviously don't have vocal cords or lungs. So it's like their xylem and the tubes which transport water and nutrients are what are causing these clicks. So obviously when they're stressed by water or whatever, it's like whether these noises are being used for something or just the result of that. I'd be so curious, and I'm sure there'll be other studies, like, are there species of animals that listen or use these sounds for something else?
To what? To be like, oh, I'll eat that plant. It's dying.
I don't know. But you know how like plants as many animals or insects have like an intertwined relationship?
Yeah.
It's whether or not like these sounds are just a byproduct of or if they're more deeply intertwined with the ecosystem.
Yeah.
In the way that we've learned like plants can communicate via chemical passages and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, now we're going to talk about how weird humans are.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, in relation to take a break diet and then culture. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. See you in a bit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Ozempic. Is there a jingle
that I made?
No, I mean like, you know, it's being advertised, this loss drug on like, at the NBA, I saw it.
True. And our friend actually sent, because I made a little song helping to explain it quickly online. And then he had been at a basketball or a hockey game recently and like had a picture of like an Ozempic banner that he sent me.
I was watching at the gym, sadly caught my eye, like, what is it? NBC? No. What is Sportsnet? I'm like, what is the name of this sports channel? And there was like all these ads for Ozempic next to one of the basketball players.
Interesting.
I don't know what game it was. I assume somewhere in North America.
Okay.
Also, well, there's advertisements for it on the New York subway system.
Let's just catch people up though who have no idea what Ozempic is.
Okay.
So it's, you know, there's, we're going to talk about a couple different drugs as well today and their relation to weight loss and the fitness industry. But for whatever reason, Ozempic and another one called Wegovy, but they're the same basically drug, just Wegovy is in a higher dose and it's of a drug called semaglutide. Is that how you say it?
Semaglutide.
Okay. Semaglutide. I was not looking at my note. I mispronounced it. I'm sorry. But yeah, so basically in the last handful of years, especially this year though, it's like really exploded in popularity. And we can talk a little bit about how Ozempic as this drug started as a diabetic drug, but part of its side effects impact weight. And so it's kind of exploded in popularity for weight loss or weight control and those things. And so,
but it feels like it was like a year ago, maybe, that it started to be talked about because of the I can never say their names.
Kardashians.
There's one way I say it. I think I say Kardashians and my friends who watch the show are like, are you literally stupid? Because it's like, obviously it's a last name that I should know.
I feel like people just say Kardashians. Who cares? I mean, like, I don't even mean this in a like pretentious way. I'm just like, we don't know. I should know it. It's because we're dumb. We don't know, but we're just gonna
know. Well, I don't like that family. You know, not really a hot take in any way. They're such a polarizing family, but weirdly so famous. Like it's just like, they're kind of like AI. It's just like, we have to live. We just happen to be alive at the time when
they're inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's always kind of been families or individuals in culture that persist for decades that just like are pervasive. Right?
Yes.
It's their turn right now. And
but it's been another 100 time of their turn.
Yeah. But a long time relative to our life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's lots of people that are in like 50 years ago that you have no idea, but people who lived with them were like, why has this person always been famous?
Yeah, it's just like, it feels relentless at this point because there's like generations of them, you know what I mean? True. They just keep having babies and now their baby Stormy's going to, it's just like,
yeah.
If they keep procreating, it's never going to end.
We'll see, it'll be interesting.
And I'm just also
so
frustrated.
You bring them up because...
Okay, so they, part of the discussion around Ozempic stems from them because obviously they represent like Hollywood and LA and this institution. But also they, for whatever reason, have like held the keys to the standards of beauty for women for a while. And there was a time where the backlash against them was that they were like getting fake asses and tummy tea and making their lips bigger and maybe deciding that women were supposed to look a certain way, whether that was like 5 to 10 years ago. And they were controlling like the Instagram face, getting right. plastic surgery, doing all these things to augment their bodies. Part of the discussion was that they were augmenting their bodies to look quote unquote more black and sort of like fetishizing and taking.
Right. Co-opting like different traits that they could just take at whim and
yes.
like stick them in however they wanted. And then like calling that like,
yeah. And being like this standard. And they seem to have control over it, whether it's like Kylie lip kits and
right.
the lips were thin, then the lips were thick. Right. And it's like, I don't know. Genetically, they don't just turn thick when you turn 22 or whatever. So, and then now it feels like they just all of a sudden all went on this insane weight loss journey and lost a bunch of weight super quickly, which people were like, A, how is that possible? B, what does it mean for the beauty standards of women now if they're in control of it? And C, was it caused by this thing, Ozempic? Mm. And then that's when everyone starts to be like, what is that? Because... what do you mean there's a drug that all of a sudden someone like Kim yeah. K can take
and just like lose so
and
much
lose
weight
so much quickly. Weight it just yeah. and then I think from there it spiraled into a discussion that now yeah. we all talk about
and
it feels like Hollywood's using
outside of that. Now to be clear, like the Kardashians have not said that they take it. There's no like proof that they are taking that, whether they're just avoiding that brand name and taking another one. Like
yeah, that's
we don't
what
know
I heard.
For sure. That's what you're kind of insinuating.
They've said that they've never taken Ozempic, but people think that they took Wegovy.
Okay.
And therefore they aren't lying by saying they never took Ozempic.
Right.
But they did take the other version of the
yeah.
drug. It's
either
kind
way,
of
they're in the conversation around it.
Yeah.
And I know there's been a lot of conversation around like TikTokers who were really popular and were using it and talking about their experience with it for weight loss.
And people who genuinely have been prescribed it for necessary reasons, which we will explain, also talking about it on TikTok.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's not to say part of why it's become extra maybe controversial is because it is used as a diabetic medication to help regulate insulin and blood glucose. And so because of the mass popularity of it, there has been a huge shortage of Ozempic for diabetics, for anyone, but like specifically people who actually use it for a medical condition that is necessary.
Yes.
And to be clear, there are also people who use it for medical conditions that are necessary that aren't diabetic. And that
yes.
could also be
yes.
like obesity or whatever. So I'm not trying to say those people are stealing anything. But obviously there's lots of people who are just casually interested in this drug now, putting on orders. Lots of pharmacies are like not even ordering anymore because it's really expensive in the first place.
Yeah.
And in different places, maybe some of these shortages have slowed down a bit, which is good. But even when making my little TikTok / music song, a lot of people were like, yeah, I'm a diabetic and for 6 months I haven't been able to get my meds and me and my doctor
wow.
are so frustrated. I'm put onto something else, but it's not working as well. And so there are obviously still people out there, even in our anecdotal comments, that are saying I'm not able to get my meds for
wow.
like half a year now.
Wow.
So that's
wild.
Been sort of controversial. So I figured like, why don't we talk about what the drug actually does
yeah.
for both diabetics
it's
and
really
for weight
interesting.
Loss. Yeah.
It seems almost like simple.
Yeah. Honestly, it's not that hard to explain.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want me to give it a go?
Yeah, you go, and then I can come in if I feel like.
Well, when it comes to diabetes, basically, like after you eat a meal, the body naturally releases GLP-1. It's a hormone that travels to your brain, and it triggers the feeling of fullness.
Glucagon-like peptide 1.
Yeah. in case you wanted to get that tattoo on your body. Quick. And so obviously the side effect in that sense, like it can help to manage glucose in your blood, which is obviously important for people who are diabetic, but it creates a sense of satiety or fullness as well.
It binds, it's a hormone that actually binds
to those same receptors.
Yeah, it binds to GLP-1 receptors in your brain and tells you that you are less hungry and more full. So like, yeah, that is what happens after you eat food. That's why when you eat food, you feel the sensation of being more full. And there's like chemical processes that tell your brain that.
Yeah. And so like ultimately, even though that's not the point of why a diabetic is taking it, I think they realized with this drug that diabetics were losing significant amounts of weight for better or for worse. And so it then also eventually became approved as a weight loss drug.
Yeah, because GLP-1, the hormone, also it increases insulin, slows down gastric emptying. So the food like doesn't, it moves through your digestive system at a different rate. And so the whole point of that hormone, GLP-1, is to do those things, which would be beneficial for someone who is diabetic or for someone who is obese. And for people, they realize everyone has different genetics in relation to this hormone, which is why there are people who just feel less full in general than other people who feel more full. It's all about biochemical pathways and hormones in your body, which is why like fat phobia and all of this stuff is so awful, because it's like that's not rooted in the health that everyone posits online.
Yeah.
It's actually so much more than that.
And like there's obviously so many conversations around like taking a drug versus working out, but like there's study after study after study that shows diets are not overly effective, especially long term. Like of course, if you stop eating or you like go into extreme calorie deficit, you'll lose weight. But most diets are really, really difficult to maintain long term, because it becomes a game of willpower. Can you starve yourself and crave food and put it off and crave food and put it off? Sure, there's a point to which you can do that, but for most people, like that challenge becomes unsustainable for the rest of your life. And so in a case like where there is a chronic condition that obesity might be like causing actual issues in somebody's life, and it's not something that they can just willpower themselves out of, maybe their biological base rate for these hormones in their body is different, then this is like an actual option. So that was why I think it was interesting that like this drug can start as one drug, but then they realize, and it's actually something I think is really interesting about the drug industry. I know it's not controversial, but you know, big pharma obviously is like a scary thing because they're trying to make money just like any other capitalist endeavor. But what I've always found fascinating is that so many drugs, they actually need to start usually by addressing a chronic condition. And if they happen to also work in other cases, it's like because if somebody has a chronic condition like diabetes, it may be worth the trade-off or the risk. So I'm not talking about this drug in particular, but like a drug could have some bad trade-offs. It might actually like hurt your heart or hurt your liver in the long run. But if your chronic condition says you only have years or 5 years to live, then okay, maybe it's worth taking it because it will make you live longer. Even if you might have a problem in the long run, it will save you now. And so that's why drugs can often be approved for certain chronic conditions, because the risk, like the benefit outweighs the risk. But then what happens is if that drug happens to also be good for something else, now we can study it on humans who are taking it and see what's actually happening. And in a case like this, they can go, oh, it's actually working for weight loss. We can see in these humans what else it's doing to their body. Can we approve it for like more mass consumption and a weight loss? Because now the company is like, we can make so much more money off of like a bigger market.
But so one thing I just want to say is that like going back to what we were talking about, which was glucagon like peptide 1 that's in your body produces naturally, this drug, semaglutide, is truly just...
It's not. I've heard it said so many times. Semaglutide.
Semaglutide.
It's the emphasis.
Is just a very similar chemical structure to GLP-1. So it's almost like you're just injecting or ingesting GLP-1 into your body.
Right.
You can think of it like that, which is why then if you inject that into yourself, it's going to bind to the receptors in your brain that make you feel less hungry and more full for longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bind to things in your pancreas that'll increase insulin. It's going to bind to the receptors in your stomach that's going to slow gastric emptying, again, making you feel full longer. So it's not the exact hormone replacement therapy, but it's a chemical structure that's so similar that it's binding to those receptors. So it's essentially like you're increasing GLP-1 in your body when you inject this.
And it, yeah, to like you're saying, it's injected. At least this drug in this form at this time, you're not popping a pill. You're actually taking like a, what would look like an EpiPen and injecting it into yourself.
So you're kind of giving yourself a drug that just makes you feel full. You're less interested in food. It actually kind of, it has been known to react badly with unhealthy food. It mm-hmm. makes you feel it's necessary for you to eat healthy or else you get sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like the side nausea. Effects being like in really intense nausea. I mean, yeah. There can be side effects even without like outside of just like eating more food. But for a lot of people, it's like they will feel physically unwell if they eat too much or too rich meals or anything like that.
So it is a bit of a game changer for some people and really necessary if someone's suffering from obesity. It's going to be a really helpful tool. Mm-hmm. But obviously then that's when we get into this like celebrity culture and why there's been so many jokes and talks about it now, because other people who are, I guess, it seems kind of intense. Like, I just can't get over the injection. I'm like, I just can't imagine doing this. You know what I mean? Like, people who, like, the Kardashians want to lose a bunch of weight quickly. This is when it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, what's happening.
It is an interesting conversation to have. Because, like, the easy line for me is, like, okay, if you're, like, prohibiting another community from accessing medically necessary drugs, that is obviously a problem, especially if it's not medically necessary for you. But once we hit the point of, like, people have their own bodily autonomy, there's enough of this drug, maybe it becomes a different conversation. Like, I do think, or sorry, in the long run, we'll have this conversation of like, so that's like a vanity case, right? Like, okay, I want to look thinner, even though I don't need to, because society puts this pressure on me. Then you have to ask yourself, well, there is a trade-off. There is like long-term side effects that will probably come from this. There's short-term side effects that will come from this that in most cases are probably not worth it for people who just want to lose 5 to 10 pounds, right? Like the people who are going to get the biggest benefit from this are people who are losing enough weight to actually change like their medical outcomes. And so, but for me, I don't know, like I would not recommend this to somebody who's just trying to do it for vanity, but at what stage do you say like, we can't tell people they can't do that?
Well, okay. I think what this makes me think about is like when it comes to health, we talk about a lot on this podcast, because I think to be actually genuinely a healthy person, you have to have an understanding of science. And a lot of it comes down to balance and like the extremes of being overweight or obese can cause cancer, can cause issues with health, but so can the extremes of being underweight mm-hmm. and being thin. And it's something that I feel like society doesn't harp on or talk about.
Yeah.
And this to me feels like a unhealthy way to try to be unhealthily thin.
Right.
Like, you know, like I'm just like, think I just,
and
feel
to be
like,
clear, like being unhealthy thin can also be a chronic condition.
Oh my God. Right? And lead to cancers and lead to heart issues and lead to all the things that everyone,
and there are people that take drugs to help them gain more weight as well, you know, on the
yes,
other side.
Yes. I just like, it's just frustrating. Like on TikTok, like truly, like even I have some people send me like such frustrating things on Instagram that are just like really just fat phobic concepts of like, now that we quote unquote entered the era of like body positivity, which like we didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like someone talked about body positivity once, everyone got mad, and here, now everyone's injecting themselves to like be thin. Like, it's just like, we never really reached a point as a society where there ever was body positivity or a general understanding from a scientific perspective of health.
Mm-hmm.
Like being extremely thin and being underweight is just as dangerous as being overweight. And all of those things are just compounding variables of different scientific pathways as to what's healthy and what's not.
Yeah. And to clear, I want to like rewrite what you said. It can be unhealthy, right? Like there being underweight, being overweight can be unhealthy, but it is not necessarily.
Yes. Exactly.
I think that's like what the body positivity movement has tried to, at least like from the science perspective, tried to be like, it is possible to be healthy at any weight. Maybe I can't say any, but like a lot of different weights. That doesn't mean everybody that is that weight is healthy.
And also,
but that the body, everyone's body is actually different. And there are plenty of people that weigh more than you and I or weigh less than you and I that could be considered much more metabolically healthy than us.
Yeah. And there's just like hate. There's like literal hate that comes from the judgment of other people's bodies, which is so like crazy.
It's weird.
It's so weird. And when I think, it's all obviously easy for me to go to someone like Joe Rogan and rag on him, because he does, for whatever reason, have a lot of people on who talk about fat phobic things. But then it's like, in one breath he's talking about that, but then in another he's like smoking a cigar with a bro. And it's like, well, I could be like, that's insane that you want mouth and esophageal cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, there's weird ways that people rag on fatness from this like disgusting health perspective, but then never talk about alcohol or smoking or all these other ways that all we do in our day is make decisions about things that might in the long term hurt or kill us or not. And it's just like, because of the way that society just like hates on fat people, and it's so sad and fucked and from so many different angles, it just becomes this like one thing people hyperfixate on to rip on.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, also being really thin, which is like, if you look at some of like the Kardashians right now, is unhealthy. But like, no one's talking about that. They're like, oh, drop a few pounds and your heart will be healthier. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if your doctor tells you that based on like specific things, that right. one person's situation, maybe that's true. And maybe they don't care about being like healthier health in
is,
that moment.
Health is more than just your body or
exactly.
your weight.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
so
your
much more.
Mind. It's like, it's
and
just so
also the irony of people pretending they care about other people's health by screaming at them and telling them they're worthless. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, your mental health is just as important. So if you have someone on a podcast making fun of somebody for their weight because they go, oh, well, I just think they would be healthier if they were smaller. It's like, don't you think they'd be healthier if you weren't like so mean to them?
Yes, that's so
like,
true.
If you really believe that would make them healthier in the first place. Yeah. It's because you just, people have this disgust
and
or
people,
hate or
they
whatever.
Know they can get clicks and get a reaction and like, oh, it's just really bucked. And I just, that's why when I think about this like Ozempic stuff, it just, it freaks me out. Cause it's like, what, we're now jumping to the other end.
And it, you worry about like, what does this do to body image standards? Exactly. We already, it's like a self looping cycle of like, we see imagery of what we should look like. And as more and more people adopt, whether that's good or bad, cause we know through history, there's like, it fluctuates, whether skinny or big or muscular or lean is like what's in trend or in vogue. Can literally see it within a generation of the Kardashians now. It's like crazy to think that as you see it, you act on it. And as you act on it, it reflects back into society in a cycle.
And there's all these people being like, oh, it's so like messed up that like we have people with different bodies on like magazine covers because that's unhealthy. It's like, when was it ever healthy to have like a men's health magazine with like at, like Chris Hemsworth on steroids?
Yeah, literally.
Like, full of like actual chemicals, full on like eating enough protein to take years off of his life.
Yeah,
like
starving
that's
yourself and dehydrating yourself so extreme that you can see every bit of vasculature and like muscle.
And then that's when they go, that's healthy. It's
the
like
pinnacle of health. Yeah.
It's so, it's just,
it's
so
crazy.
Hot.
Like I would say even like Olympic athletes, it's incredible. It's amazing. And I'm not at all tearing anyone down, but it's like pushing your body in extreme ways can be cool and interesting. It doesn't mean it's healthy.
Yeah. And it's like, or like football players, like getting all these concussions and going like their mental health is obliterated because their brain smashed.
Like why? Like, that's not healthy.
Yeah. Like it's like, you know, what's not healthy? Playing football. So it's like, that's obviously like, there's going to be a football player on the cover of Men's Health. Like, why aren't you yelling about that? And it is also, now I'm just, this is just hyperbolic and like kind of a joke, but like truly every time an athlete gets interviewed, I'm like, well, they're not smart. Like it's like, cause they've hyperfixated on swimming really fast in a pool their whole life. And then they're like, they take off their like bathing cap and you ask them one question and they're like, I like to play Fortnite. And you're like, oh, do you not have,
I like to play Fortnite.
No, I just this was like me listening to hockey players get interviewed and realize like they don't have social skills, like they don't have a well-rounded life. And
you know what though, like at the end of the day, that is okay. And I think like
now I'm just becoming like the opposite
that's like, what I mean. I think extreme. Like my perspective is that's probably true. And with that, it's like, let people live their fucking lives.
Yeah,
right.
True.
And everyone has like,
keep ripping on,
well, I'm not even telling you not to do that. I'm saying like, reflect it back on people who judge other people and just say like, who cares what somebody else looks like? Who cares what somebody else's sexuality is? Who cares what, like, everyone gets to make their own decisions. Everyone's stuck in this bubble that reflects culture back onto their, like, own psyche and how they deal with that. Unless they're harming other people, unless they're actually doing damage to society, I don't think most people actually care about who argue like, oh, well, you're affecting the way that other people in society view health and then it's going to negatively impact everyone. It's like, so if you really cared about that, there's so many other issues that are way higher on the list.
Yeah.
Including, I'm not even going to go there, but
I know.
It's like a lot of things that it's just like, I'm not saying you can't it's just such as it muddies the water so much, because obviously there are lots of doctors and medical professionals that might want to have genuine real conversations around like, okay, what is like the ideal healthy body? And I think most acknowledge there's no such thing as one, but there might be some genuine conversations of like, how can we help people who have conditions, whether this has to do with weight or whether this has to do with mental issues or whether this has to do with anything.
Which is where Ozempic can come in and be very positive.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, it is important that we like try and study things and try and realize like, hey, we can actually make people have better quality lives if they want it, right? Yeah. And we can give them longer lives potentially too. And those are amazing things, especially because we're constantly surrounded by really intense processed foods and drugs and access to things and addiction to phones, like all these ways we should. And I think we agree, like the internet should be thought about more and regulated and how our kids are staring at screens. Like it's, there's a lot of things around us that can not be choices for a lot of people. I think it's important that doctors and government officials and whatever are looking at these to say, how do we actually protect our society from capitalism, basically?
Yeah, which is not what's happening.
No, it is not what's happening. But I think in like medical spheres, it might be. And in like science spheres, it might be. And in like care spheres, it might be.
In like academia in some ways. Yeah.
And so there needs to be some real room, in my opinion, for that conversation to be allowed to happen in the most like compassionate way possible.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this other than to say it's just like, let people do what they want, but educate them. It's like the power of education, right?
Yeah.
And the most you can do is try and create an environment that can allow people to thrive and be safe in. And stop hating on people. And just like, when it comes back to Ozempic, it's like people, that's why I struggle when I'm like, should people just be allowed to take it if they want? I understand it can quickly get tied up in the conversation of like, what does that do to society and mental
like,
health?
It is interesting. It's like, yeah, I get what you're saying about all those things, like let people do what they want. But it is like, I don't know. It's hard because it's a drug that is going to...
It's a pretty intense drug too.
Yeah, like make you play with your metabolic pathway. Like I know it's kind of going against what I just said, which is that like, I don't know, everyone can make decisions and we all make decisions daily about what is going to impact us, whether it's good or bad. And everyone just needs to like chill the fuck out. But like, yeah, it's just an intense one. It really is. It's like, it's an injection. It's playing with your hormones to make you feel full. It makes you feel nauseous. It makes you unable to want to consume food. That if you are someone who hasn't been prescribed by a doctor, there's a variety of ways of in which it think I feel like it's playing with your ability to like, honestly have nutrients in your body. Like it's making you now not want to eat food. It's just kind of crazy. Yeah. But I do get what you're saying. It's true. Like I wouldn't and shouldn't judge someone who's just like, oh, I'm on Ozempic.
Yeah. But and, like, because we've come from so many places, like maybe in the future we might look at it the way we look at like anti-anxiety drugs, where when they first came out, it's like, don't take it. You're like, you can't control your own thoughts. You can't whatever. Like everyone's got to figure out where they're at with
it. Yeah, that's fair.
But back to like, me agreeing with you on one hand is we need to be given, be educated. It's like, it took a long time to educate people about like cigarettes. People can still smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
But like it really, and we had to push back against a huge industry that had a lot of money.
And make actual laws around the fact that it was killing people.
Totally.
Other people if doing it inside.
Yeah, it's like just like, you could be actually negatively impacting a lot of other people around you.
When the laws were passed, like don't smoke on planes, and that makes sense.
I mean, I'm arguing myself into circles. Like that maybe one day will be argued for body image, like just like, what do you say, like body image changing drugs.
But it's not like
secondhand smoke is not the same.
It's not like you're watching the literal chemical go into other people's lungs and kill them.
And breathing it in yourself or something.
And just like absolutely obliterating lungs.
Yeah. So,
but it also is lifelong too. Like, I think that's the other thing. It's like the more you learn about it, it's like it's not like you just get to do it and then you stop.
Yeah, right now, it's a weekly injection, and if you stop taking it, you will gain the weight back,
or your lack of feeling full will. Sorry, like you don't necessarily gain the weight back, but all of a sudden you're going to be hungry again, and you're going to
a willpower problem again.
Or not even like a willpower problem. It's just like you're gonna. Its effects don't occur without the continued injection, which I think from an education standpoint, it's like looking at someone and being like, because you're going to have to do this
forever, potentially. Yeah. And that would be worth it if you have a chronic condition that is like you need, like if your outcome without taking it is much worse, then of course you should take this for the rest of your life, because that is what people like. That's why diabetics take pills, because it's better that they live with it than without it, regardless of whether, you know what I mean?
But like, it is really interesting, because it is like plastic surgery is another thing that's like, you do this for life, and so many people do it, and it is shocking.
And the cultural implication and view of it changes from time to time.
Yeah.
Like on one hand, it's much more acceptable now than ever before.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's lots of people like getting rid of things in their face because they're realizing, oh shit, like I didn't realize like how I was seeing myself, and like the trends of like what a beautiful face looks like is changing. And so,
and there's not really been a generation. We're living through the generation of body augmentation in a really interesting way. Like aging men, women, and everything in between with plastic surgery, we're sort of at the first time watching what actually happens.
As they become like into an older generation.
Yeah. Like, or even just like, back to the Kardashians, like that face. Like sometimes I just like see their face like on numerous like people in my Instagram feed, and it's like they've all augmented their face in this really interesting similar way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, if they start changing their faces, then does everyone like it? Just like, does it have to keep changing? And can it, like, what are the limits of plastic surgery? Like, I don't even know, but it feels solutions that people have found to, like, I don't know, fix or change.
Yeah. And I mean, like, these trends will always move away from the kind of average person, right? Like the whole point of body augmentation and like capital used to do that is to like look better and different than everyone else.
Is it though? I disagree.
I think most people, yeah, I think for sure. Like, of course, lots of people, even like when you're working out, like to be the hottest, you have to be hotter than everyone else. And I think what I mean is like a lot of, even think about like shadism and skin trends, like, for a long time, it was like very important to people to be light skinned because it showed that you like didn't work in the fields. Now having like beautiful tan skin, and I'm not saying like there obviously still is like such racism towards like black people and people with different backgrounds, but like in like white culture, having like tan skin is like very beautiful and it's not associated with like working in a field. So all I mean is like different trends come and go to like uphold the idea of how a class can differentiate itself.
A class can differentiate itself
as elite because of like they're able to show how their money works. So if everyone can suddenly afford cheek filler, I feel like rich people will find another way that's more the newest drug, the newest thing that's less accessible because they
to stand out.
Hmm. I think.
Okay. No. Yeah. That's interesting. I think. Yeah. Is it? Okay, wow. It's so interesting. Because I'm like, I do agree. But then in some ways, when I think of like the lip filler and the like trend, the cheek filler, the buccal fat removal, like all that stuff, when I see that on people or like the Daily Mail or someone tells me that when someone has that, to me, they look more similar to like their faces
to
are
people in their quote unquote
the
class, though.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. Like it is like, it is weird how that version that you're right and might involve class and like these elite people end up looking the same amongst themselves. But you're right against like the general
population. Which is
population.
Like what defines the class in the first place. You know
yeah.
I mean?
I never thought about how it's like you have to have a certain amount of money to do that.
Yeah, totally.
So maybe you're like.
And then as these trends become so popular, they become more affordable.
And even Ozempic, you have to have a certain amount of money to have
it. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
I feel like if people say it's like thousands of dollars.
A month.
Yeah.
Like that's where it has been at.
And so,
again, it might get cheaper.
Yeah. Obviously, at some point, if like mass amounts of people are able to take it, it probably will be cheaper. And maybe being so thin seems too easy and affordable that it's like having a curvaceous body is suddenly caught like hot again, you know, like this bounce back and forth.
Yeah, we're like alive for so freaking long that we're just gonna watch this these trends consistently change.
Literally,
but then at a certain point we're gonna be old enough that we're like, well, we can't.
Well, I think at a certain age you're just like, I don't care anymore.
I know, right? Or like,
it's just what? Like the younger generations that.
But is that true? Like, I don't
maybe
know.
Not
necessarily.
There are obviously like elderly people who are like trendy and want to be part of trends.
Yeah, and there's like the gym I go to, there's some old people who I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
You're right.
But we can like only live so long.
Yeah. But I'm like, wow. Like they're like, whatever they're doing is like
working.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're always at the gym. I'm like, I guess they're retired and only working out. Mm-hmm. But it just like it is interesting. I'm like, they're still holding on to like conventional beauty standards.
Yeah, that's true. But they may have through their life been following different beauty standards. Yeah. It's like right now, even in the gay community, it's like a jacked body is a beauty standard for gay men. But like that hasn't always been that case, and it could easily change one day. And where everyone might be working out really hard right now, it might be more interesting to have a different look. Yeah. That might necessitate, or maybe it's just like going to keep getting more extreme to having like literally perfect chiseled body. Like, I don't know, but we'll see where that goes.
Well, Ozempic is probably going to start changing that too. If this becomes the fad and trend that people
I think it won't, because I mean, there's a handful of other drugs. I think these kinds of drugs will definitely impact human society and like people who can afford it. Like for example, another one's called 516. I've talked about this in a video.
What catchy name?
Well, it's like GW501516. So it's okay.
It is the catchier version of the real one.
And when given to healthy mice that are allowed to exercise, their endurance goes up 75% after 4 weeks. It shrinks their body fat, reduces insulin resistance, and shifts their muscle composition ratio to slow switch fibers. So it's like there are drugs that can help optimize on fitness, but it also like boost, even without them working out, it boosts their signal to burn down fat. So like these kinds of drugs can be taken, and in many cases that's like really cool and really important, because but the irony is like so much of this potentially comes from like our biases in the first place of like being afraid of fat and that we need to break down fat. I don't know that, like, I don't even feel like I need to run through them. There's another one called Compound 14.
Well, it is interesting.
It tricks your cells into thinking they're running out of energy, which triggers them to burn more fuel. Like a lot of these drugs are being tested.
And that's interesting, because it's like Ozempic has passed the gatekeeping of the FDA to now be in the hands of the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty easy to get. It's pretty easy to get, honestly. Some doctors, you just have to be like, I want to lose weight. And they're like, okay, here's Ozempic. Like, it's being advertised all over the place. There will maybe be a future when those rat model drugs pass the hurdles and start to be like,
well, some of those people take already, but like, I think it's off market. Like, I don't know that.
Yeah, that's FDA what I'm saying. Proves. Like, it could become in 2 years when we're like, 516 is the new Ozempic, and they're just, we now can pay for it and buy it. Like, that is how science works. And if there's money to be made.
Yeah, exactly. That is the scary part, is like the money can impact even the medical industry, where it's like a doctor can make a good amount of money by recommending and prescribing these drugs to people. And so you hope that your doctor has your best interest at heart and actually is prescribing it to you if you only need it. You know what I mean?
I know. It's just so like LA and Hollywood is just so interesting. Like, if that is really where the jokes are being made, that everyone's like doing it, it's just a fascinating microcosm of,
culture.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for the most part, everyone is extremely like unhealthy probably in so many ways, even though they're like
trying to signal a body that looks healthy. Yeah.
It's just like, it feels like the
most unhealthy industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and actually
maybe
like,
not most, but like it feels like, in
some ways. It's like it posits and they lie. Like, celebrities just absolutely lie. Like, Chris Hemsworth is a liar.
Wait,
like,
why is he a liar?
Well, he doesn't say he does steroids.
I feel like some of them might. I don't
know. No, actually, he doesn't.
Like, I know, like, Chris Hemsworth has talked about it, like taking steroids and stuff.
He has.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
No, he said that he like fell, like they always are like, I fell and hurt my face, and that's why my face is completely changed.
No, I know, but I do feel like there has been, maybe, and maybe it's far fewer than it should be, but there are lots of actors that talk about drugs that get put on to like really jack up.
But like, honestly, I'm like, I think we should Google how, like, which actor said they were steroids. I think,
and
it
it's
would
like
be,
there should be disclaimers on Instagram posts that say like, this body has been modified with drugs.
I don't really think it's, I don't think Zac Efron has said that. We can look it up, but like, I feel like that's a headline that would make it far. Like, we can Google it right now, but like, there's no way that Chris Hemsworth has never said he's just the one person I'm thinking of, because whenever I see him, I'm like, that is absolutely ridiculous, and I'm sorry, like, you're lying. He like sells an app for fitness, and it's like, you're just not telling us the truth. And I don't think celebrities feel obligated to. That's part of their allure, is it's like they're literally Thor. They're like
And there is this idea that if you can like work for it, you like, you are special. Like, if you can work that hard, like, to look good or to be really smart, if you could just take a pill and be a genius, no one would think that's special. But if you're like really fucking smart, mm-hmm. then everyone yeah, yeah. can really respect that. So it's like the same with the body, right?
That's why you're Thor, because you are
exceptional. You worked so hard. Yeah. yeah. But even beyond that, it's like there's literal so much bias because it's like he is predisposed to have like good genetics and a good body.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And he definitely is on steroids. Like, that's the part that I just think about the most when I think about LA is it's like, I don't think celebrities are telling the truth. And I think this isn't just a new drug that I can see would be really interesting to get in those circles and have everyone at a dinner party being like, yeah, we're all just going to inject before dinner. But like, it's not like they're telling everyone that.
Yeah.
But like, people are making jokes at the Oscars because they're insiders. Yeah. Being like,
they know everyone who, or
yeah, they're like, they hear like, that was the it. Joke. It was like, I guess yeah. Ozempic works. Everyone looks thin and everyone just laughs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, can we know who is on it? Like, are we allowed? That would just be interesting yeah. to have the knowledge to understand where like the limits of our bodies are. Remember when Chris Hemsworth was like so funny?
No.
And like, in Ghostbusters.
I have no memory.
Do you remember the Ghostbusters with like Kristen Wiig, which yeah. was so good? Uh-huh. He was like the like nerdy, dumb.
I kind of forget. I have to rewatch it.
And he was like really funny. Like, he's just like,
yeah,
know,
you can
just
take
a world.
Steroids and be funny.
No, I'm just like, there's a world where he like, he's just like weird that his now his thing is all fitness to me. Yeah. I'm just like, there's a world where he could have just been like a really cool guy.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure he's cool or whatever. He seems like a good
guy. I mean, it's a race to the bottom either way with any of these things. Like, you're never going to feel good by trying to maintain that you have the best body, the best brain, the best career, the best mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I think that is the deeper issue. That people who can become, like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthy or wanting to exercise because it makes you feel good mentally yeah. or whatever. But when you're chasing it for the, like, what do you say? Like, the praise of others, like mm-hmm. like anything else, it doesn't end well usually.
No.
Because you're like chasing something outside of yourself in yeah. the first place. And I think like that's a form of mental health that is not that well described to the general population. Yeah. Same with money and fame. Like, it's not really that well articulated in any way. Of course, therapists talk about it. Of course, like, philosophers and stuff for literally thousands of years have been talking about, like, the endless need for more things and success. Yeah. And they're like, that actually doesn't make you happy.
I was just called it the Ozempic treadmill, but it's not. The hedonic treadmill.
The Ozempic.
But it is kind of the Ozempic treadmill. It is true. Like, I'm sure once you get lip filler, it has a hedonic treadmill feeling, like, where you're like, oh, okay, now my lips are normal. Can I get them bigger? Like,
yeah,
it is like any other
thing. And it's just a hard balance because it's like, again, of course you want to let people, like, when I get a haircut, it feels good. When I like there's nothing wrong with like wanting to change the way you look and play around
and
with that and modify
and
yourself.
Feeling, yeah.
And I don't know what the limit is. It's hard to like define a line of how much somebody else should be allowed to change their body. Right?
Yeah, no, it's really
like
hard.
People modify their body in lots of ways that are interesting and cool or scary or whatever. Yeah. Like,
and it's also just like, I think the reason I always harp on like steroids and stuff is because women are held in every way.
They get a pass in a lot of ways. Sorry, not women, steroids.
Men, yeah. Yeah, like women augment their bodies and then all of a sudden everyone gets mad. Like, it's why I'm like, shouldn't maybe have used the Kara Kardashians as the examples, right. But they're just like, for the Ozempic thing, it's just like the number one family that seems to be talked about. But exactly, there's definitely men in Hollywood using it who are no one's talking about. And there is something
And there's
about
a huge bias towards like men and masculine traits kind of like getting that pass to be like, why?
Why?
Of course,
it's
some
so
people
weird.
Might criticize steroids, but like on the grand scale of things, like the things that men are impressed to do with their body doesn't get that same flag.
Yeah, no, it's all, it's like.
So you don't think Joe Rogan's on steroids?
No, Joe Rogan is.
We can't.
But every time I look at him, I'm like, okay, poster child for unhealthy. And like, it looks like his veins are going to explode. Mm-hmm. I picture his blood as like gravy. Like, he doesn't he looks sick to me. Like,
I know.
Truly, he looks like that weird cow that like has that like polymorphism that makes it grow so many muscles that like, anyways, it doesn't matter. It does matter. He's horrifying. But yeah, men get praised when they augment their bodies or...
Like so many other things, men get praised for this exact same thing that women get like lambasted
even
for.
Even like men that like get plastic surgery and stuff, it's like they just... I feel like when it goes well, people are like, damn, glow up or whatever. And it's just like, that's so frustrating. Yeah. Guys keep getting that chin thing. It's on my TikTok. It's like fillers.
Oh,
like, I think
yeah,
Bad Bunny
to give
has
you
it.
Like the sharper jawline.
Yeah, yeah. Like I just feel like when a man gets their chin sharper, people are just like, go off, sis. Like no one's like, I don't know, dragging them to hell like the way that like other people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Doja Cat just got plastic surgery and then everyone like got mad at her. And she said, eat my long silent farts or something. Like so gross and like hilarious. And it's like, she's just like really good at the internet.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Is there anything
else
that's worth talking about for this? I'm trying to think about.
It's really interesting, honestly. I don't know. There's nothing else really. We could probably talk about it forever, but I think that's like a good
idea. Yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know that I have like a super strong opinion. Of course, it's amazing for people who need it and it's necessary
and
for.
And it's very rooted in hormones and science and your metabolism, which are just things
it's fascinating.
That we've learned. Like GLP-1 protein we learned about and had to write as a pathway in fourth year cell bio. And here we are just being like, okay, that was utilized
for money.
I think like
the science of it is also cool.
Yeah, it is. It's just like a mimic of a hormone. And it's like a machine
kind of like asks the bigger question of like if and when humans understand every biological pathway, like what do we do with that?
Yes, exactly.
And do we know what is the right thing to
do? And it's kind of like you'd think people would be scared to play with it, but boom, here we go. Nope, everyone's spending their money and they're like, let's give me that. And it's like, wow, humans are fascinating and flawed. Okay.
Oh, thanks for listening.
Yeah, I think we might be talking about like testosterone supplementation soon, which is similar vibes.
Yeah, true, true.
That will definitely be more of ragging on Joe Rogan. So I really love if you listen to Joe Rogan and this podcast.
Yeah,
like I would love to know your insight into like, are we crazy to always be ragging on him or what? Because I listen to his podcast to try and keep up with it. And every time I'm like, I can't believe this is what it is.
The only thing I can think for someone who's made it this far in our podcast that also listens to Joe Rogan is like he gets so many guests. You know what I mean? Like there are like legitimate scientists. There are really interesting celebrities and stuff that go on that podcast because it's so
popular.
But
they're usually like on a route of their book tour on every other podcast.
Exactly. You're right. You can hear them elsewhere. That's
like, don't you want to hear when they're not being asked annoying questions and challenged and hyper misogynist
I don't know. I actually don't like listen to it, but I see like clips of obviously people who are not necessarily like scary conservative people.
Yeah. I listen to it as homework and it takes years off my life. Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening and we'll see you guys next week.
Burst. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.